space Mandalorian
ranger. It's weird they call him Space Marine though when he's a Space Ranger.
It's weird that, yeah. Right, eh?
Weird.
Weird.
People are weird.
I should probably take people on a little journey along this shelf at some point, Jamie. Yeah. Because I don't know where this little wooden boat came from. That's really...
I've never seen
it. Like, literally, I don't know where it came from. It just showed up one day. There are ghosts in this house, though, as we know.
Yeah. What's his name?
I'm not repeating his name.
Just in case he comes...
Say it three times, he'll strangle you from behind. He's got a wicked rear naked choke. Okay. Are we starting?
Of course we're starting.
Since we're already an hour late or so.
Yeah, we are, aren't we? You know, I came out early and we're starting at the same time.
Yeah, but we're having deep societal and philosophical debate, weren't we?
It's got to be done.
On the origin of...
It's got to be done.
Xenophobia. Yeah. Anyway. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Outlaw Picks podcast.
Oh, wow. Unprompted as well.
Pose it for the photo for Jamie. Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Welcome.
Here we go. Welcome. You done it.
Welcome. 266.
Yeah.
I feel like I've half solidly researched this card and half not looked at it at all. Because I've done the three war rooms for it, which are ticking over nicely.
Yeah, they
people are.
People are
obviously loving the people's main event. But then looking down the card, I've had a look at a couple of these guys, but there are...
Hold on a minute. Hold on. What?
Oh, hang on. We're going hold back, on a are we? Minute. Are we going... Oh, no, you've got reads to do.
That's what I'm saying. All hold
right,
on for.
All right. Just... All right.
You're just right. Jumping ahead of yourself. Just keen. Oh, to be fair, it's a good card to be keen for. But
this week we're brought to you by Not For Ollie, Unbound Marina.
So, yeah, Unbound Marina.
Not For Ollie at the...
no, that doesn't work.
At the checkout.
That will definitely not work. Do
all
not
your worldly
to
desires
that
will be delivered
work.
To you
the
by
Not
Ollie
For Ollie
himself.
Range is unfortunately not available for general sale.
Unfortunately, it's not available for anybody.
No. So, but everything else is.
Yeah, it is.
So everything else on this site is available for general release.
Yeah. You can get this. You just can't get it with the full Reptile Not For Ollie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, it's a nice colour. There's some embroidery issues that I'm not that keen on, but the colour's very nice. They have new Kanga pullover hoodies up on the site, and they also have a... ivory version. I bet that's a nightmare for their Google ads with the word ivory in it.
Oh,
I bet that gets flagged all the time. Anyway, they have an ivory color version of this long sleeve top that I'm wearing. So there's plenty of stuff on there. Go check them out. We say it every time. Once you get some merino wool, you'll understand why we bang on about it.
Yeah. I saw him repost that thing the other day of that world traveler guy who, like, wherever he goes, he goes away for a long period of time and he always just takes a backpack.
Right.
So he's, like, really sparing about what he chooses.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, he's just
one of
just a bag full of merino.
There you go.
Bag full of Unbound merino.
It's very good. If you use the code OUTLAW at the checkout, you will get 15% off. And if your order's over $100, Unbound will ship it for free for you.
Nice.
Lovely. We're also brought to you by NordVPN. We've both used NordVPN we've bounced around the world over the years. There's multiple benefits to using a VPN. It's an extra layer to your cybersecurity that's obviously very important in this day and age with lots of
weirdos,
hackers and profile stealers floating around.
Geo-blockers.
Well, we'll come on to.
Yep.
If there happens to be any breakdown shows, for instance, on BT Sport that you might want to watch, you can watch it wherever you want, whenever you want, using NordVPN.
Yep.
We'll always find a way to rise up, won't we?
Always.
And go around around any obstacles that are brought to the party. That's just who we are as a species. If you go to NordVPN.com/outlawed, you'll get access to a deal that gives you 73% off a 2-year plan, and 4 months of that will be free of charge. There's also a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Nice.
Can't do much more than that for you, to be honest.
No, it's pretty awesome.
No, it's pretty
I might
good.
Just
go
take a trip over to Europe just to sit just in a different country and watch my breakdown show.
Yeah, nice.
Using NordVPN.
Going well. I looked at it this morning. It's going good.
It's all right, isn't it? It's ticking over. Ticking over
nicely.
So
if anyone is having trouble accessing that, if it is geo-blocked, which I'm not sure if it is this time or not, then there you
go.
Yeah,
of course it is.
We're providing solutions for you right there.
Of course it is. I was thinking this the other day, because obviously this Analyst of the Year thing's coming up, and you know, they're trying to limit me to England only, to the UK only. So I was thinking to myself, well, I don't expect to win that thing. So I was thinking I could go for some kind of outlandish promise, like I'll do a breakdown of my first encounter with Herb Dean and what the rematch would go like for the channel. I was thinking I could draw like a floor plan of the space, and this is what happened. And
it's funny.
Reference all the photos.
We'll touch on it at the time, but there's a fight on this card, and it should have been stopped. And the commentators must say stop the fight 40 times over and over again.
I've got a couple on my thingy that have been screen recorded. I've got one here, Rogan saying it.
It was crazy. I was watching it last night and I was like,
the point of difference is that they weren't yelling at the referee. Yeah.
Just live on the broadcast. Big difference. Yeah, well. Do you want to quickly review Fight Night?
Yeah.
Because there were some good fights, weren't there?
Yeah. You know, the one fight I've not had a chance to watch because I really want to sit down and give it my full attention is the Phil Davis Romero one.
Yeah.
I watched all the rest of the card, but I've just not watched that one yet.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either. No. But it's on iPlayer, so I will catch it.
Yeah.
I watched, I thought Anthony Smith was excellent, really. He was very calculated, almost a little, how do you say it? Or there's just a little bit of bite in there, wasn't there? Like he was pissed off, wasn't he? He was unhappy with how he'd been spoken to. But he's very calculated, very precise. Didn't take many risks necessarily, didn't he? Put a bit of a beating on him, and he controlled him really, really, really well. I thought he was.
Yeah.
I thought he was very good.
As he should have. You know, as we, you know, anybody that looks at their records and has those expectations of Anthony Smith, they would expect him to overcome Ryan Spann like that. Not that Ryan Spann won't get back to this stage, but Smith's already there, and it wouldn't have been right to see him kind of vacate that top echelon.
Yeah.
You know, at this point. You know, it's three good wins on his record now. Yeah. Clark Crewe and Ryan Spann.
Yeah, it's not. That's not where he's necessarily had trouble, is it? It's just that top
that they gave him that space to kind of go back there, because you know there are some other fighters that I think could do with that as well, that you know maybe don't get it. You know, I mean, Aldo's never gets any easy fights, does he? No. Not that, I mean, obviously Aldo's been champ, but I don't know, you just kind of sometimes you see a fighter, they get to that kind of top group of the sport, and then just it's like that's it now,
off the ledge. Yeah Sarukin was good, very accurate.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have thought he would necessarily get put on his back in the first 60 seconds. I was like, oh, shit, okay.
No, but I think that's maybe why it happened. It was the surprise of it.
Yeah.
You know, like Koscheck didn't expect anybody to take him down. So then when GSP took him down, it was like, oh, I've got to work on my wrestling again.
Koscheck, you know? I've not said that name for a long time.
Koscheck.
Now, he traded a lovely left hand off the leg kick that started that whole sequence.
Yeah.
He's going after Islam Makhachev again. People not. There's not many people saying that.
Fair
is
play.
There?
Fair play. But then you know, is his perception of Makhachev's different, especially because he spent 15 minutes in there and it was competitive.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, like he will be able to look at that and go, I can see ways I could have edged.
Yeah.
You know. That.
Oh man, I'm down for watching that anytime.
Yeah, for sure.
Anytime.
For sure. There were some really good fights on the card. I enjoyed. Go on.
Sorry, I'm interrupting you.
What were you going to say?
Just Whitmire, she was doing great again.
Mate.
She's good. Like she's good, but she just got caught in the armbar, didn't she?
It was so frustrating. Honestly, the first two fights were very frustrating to watch. Yeah. Like the Whitmire Goldie fight was frustrating because Whitmire, like sometimes if I'm watching a fight, what I'll do is, if all of a sudden the fight changes hands, like Whitmire's in control, she's doing really well, and then she makes a silly mistake, she rushes in on the fence and gives double underhooks, and now it's Goldie's fight. Sometimes I'll switch it back and I'll go, okay, what was the bad decision that she made that led to that change, and then how much of the rest of the fight does she lose? Like, does she lose control for the next minute?
Yeah.
And then is she able to turn it around, and is that a mistake that Goldie makes? And like, Whitmire shouldn't have made those mistakes. She shouldn't have found a way into that armbar and then postured out of it once she was in it.
Yeah.
Like, she did all the things wrong. She could have put her against the fence. She could have put a Neil Paras to stop her posturing, kept her weight
weird.
On her.
Like, I just watch her and I'm like, I think you're good.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're good. Maybe she's one. She just needs to find that state, a couple of good wins. She gets in a role. Maybe she starts believing herself a little bit. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm projecting again. But you could see the relief for Hannah Goldie getting that win was obviously important to her.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how far she can go necessarily, but, you know, that is what it is.
Yeah. She looks physically very strong.
Oh, yeah.
But but she looks very stiff, and I think that works against her, especially with her striking.
Yeah.
Especially in this division, you know, in the flyweight division, she's up against a lot of strikers, a lot of fluid strikers as well that will pepper her, and she doesn't really have the grappling to get them to the floor. Mm. Like, she ended up with that armbar because of the mistakes that Whitmire made.
She played the cards that were in front of her, didn't she?
Absolutely.
She did a good job. I just felt for Whitmire, really.
Yeah.
I don't know what she needs to find, but when she finds it, I think she can be good.
Yeah. I mean, it's similar to the other ladies' fight a bit further down with Alpar and Blanchfield. Like, Alpar has got all the enthusiasm and determination, but just made bad decisions. Like, consistently made bad decisions all the way through it. And I thought Blanchfield looked, you know, she looked strong.
I like her.
Second fight of the night, though, Lopez against Alateng Haley.
Yeah.
It was a unanimous draw. It was a unanimous bore. It was it was so frustrating to watch both of them do the same things over and over again, and nothing came of it.
No one modifies it.
No one stepped up their game. No one took a chance until the last sort of 90 seconds when they stepped outside of themselves. I don't know how you do that much work. You put that much effort in. You sacrifice so much through training camp, and then you just, you know, like if it's not a tactical thing that's forcing you to freeze up, like every time you step on your front foot, you get snatched, single, taken down.
Hmm.
Like that, that's a manifestation of a hesitation that makes sense. But these two were just shadowing one another, and neither of them did anything.
Yeah,
like not. It was really frustrating to watch.
Like, too respectful of each other, you think? Just like worried, just worried about each other's striking.
More concerned about losing than taking a chance to win.
Going and winning,
yeah.
Kutalaba beat the teeth out of Devin Clark, didn't he?
Mate.
Whoa.
And I know we gave Devin Clark some shit on the podcast, and I'm not saying that I gave him some shit. I'm not saying
fair play. Fucking fair play for getting up off that stool with your teeth
fair
hanging
play.
Out.
Fair play for getting up off the stool.
He was like, well, I'm having surgery anyway.
No. However, the reason he was in that situation in the first place is because he wasn't fighting back.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't want to be in there from the first bell. It was really irritating.
Yeah.
Because you could tell he didn't want to be in there. His dad wants him to be in there.
Yeah, right.
Holy shit. Get up! Like, if he wants to be a fighter as much as his dad wants him to be a fighter, if he had the intensity of his dad as a corner man, he would have been fine. Yeah. But he was getting taken down. He was getting rolled over. He was giving positions. He wasn't fighting back. He wasn't making an effort.
Like, he was getting beaten on, weren't he, boy?
The point of difference between the two is that Kutalaba fucking brings it.
Yeah.
Like, he comes to take your head off.
Like, he beat him up as well. Like, it felt like if he subbed him, it would have been a merciful thing to do. And he weren't interested, was he? He was just going to beat on him until he was done.
Yeah. Someone sent me a message. They were like, "You've got to give Devin Clark some respect now, for fighting on with his teeth all busted in." Like, he got his teeth busted in because he wasn't fucking doing anything. Like, he wasn't doing anything. He didn't want to be in there.
No, maybe not. Maybe not.
I just like he's a good athlete, clearly, and I'm sure there are lots of other things that he could turn his athletic traits to. I think he loves training. I think he loves being in the environment where he's a professional athlete. But I mean,
sounds like a CrossFitter.
A bit, yeah. I mean, he's mentioned wanting to deadlift over £1,000, and he mentioned something about bobsledding as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that might just be another opportunity to run away from his dad. He might be the only fighter that picks up a fighter and walks away from his corner man to fucking slam him to the canvas.
Maybe because if you go the other side of the octagon, the volume is right. Yeah. You can hear it. Yeah,
it's much nicer hearing his corner the opposing corner.
There you go.
It's frustrating to watch, especially when people are taking damage like that. Like, why is he in there? Why is he in there? He needs sitting down with a psychologist.
But then that's quite a strange option for him to say, "Oh yeah, fucking put me back in. Yeah, go on then." Or the camera's on you, your dad's in your ear, and you're like, "Oh, if I say no, my teeth are hurting.
Mate,
what's going to happen?"
You know that moment where Anthony Smith came back and sat in his corner and pulled his mouth guard out and he said, "My teeth are falling out." I didn't get the feeling in that moment that Anthony Smith wanted someone to go, "All right, that's it, we're waving it off." I got the feeling Anthony Smith was going, "Oh shit, my teeth are coming out."
Oh, look.
But when he sat back on his stool, like the question was raised about his teeth, and he turns over and to his dad through the fence, he went, I don't know. What do you reckon?
What do you think?
And then there was this uncomfortable.
Going, oh, what about you? Keep going. Oh, fucking right. Anyone?
Well, I guess it's surgery. Yeah, it's surgery. But I don't think he didn't fight like he wanted to be in there from the first round. He got his teeth smashed in because he was in positions where he didn't need to be. Mm. When he decided he wanted to get up, it was a Derek Lewis get up. Mm. He didn't even do it technically. He just muscled back to his feet.
Bolted up. Like, yeah.
Like, at the very least, if someone's doing that to you, even if you don't want to be in there, you don't let someone sit on top of you and punch you in the face.
Mm.
And I feel like he could have stopped Kutalaba doing a lot of what he did. And I feel like he chose not to because he didn't want to be in there.
Mm.
I think he needs an honest conversation.
There's a lot of things to do in life.
Because the driving forces behind some of these fighters is greater than, greater than what we anticipate them to be at. Yeah.
Anyway, good win for
Kutalaba. Is a monster.
I thought he looked good.
And Joaquin Buckley as well.
Yeah.
Looked awesome. Like, Arroyo makes everybody look like they should be in the weight class below.
Yeah. He's big dude.
He's massive.
He just tried that jab knee just one too many times, didn't he? Because he was sort of landing it. He was sort of quite good with it. He seemed happy with it. Overused it and then, paid for it.
Yeah. A little bit. But, you know, it was a really, really nice knockout. Another one for his highlight reel.
Yeah.
It's kind of his thing, isn't it, Buckley? It's like he goes out on his shield or somebody else goes out on theirs.
Or someone's getting flattened.
Yeah. And what about Rong Zhu?
Yeah.
First fighter born in the 2000s to get a win in the UFC.
Yeah, right. Got you. It's fair dues. Good for him.
Crazy.
Good for him.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to skip Bellator then because I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, they were good.
We'll get to it.
Naaman Gracie looked really, really good. But I am going to pay some attention to that main event. I want to really watch it. Apparently Romero was taken down 5 times.
Right.
Anyway.
He won't be happy with that, will he?
No, of course he won't.
266.
Mate,
there's a lot on this card.
Yeah, there is.
There's a lot. It's... it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. What, 3 war rooms out.
3 war rooms
main event,
out.
Main event, co-main, and the people's main.
People's main.
Yeah.
Yep.
Start on the bottom. Who have you got?
I've got Morales. Yeah.
This is a good way to start a card off.
Banger.
Yeah.
Banger.
Omar Morales came through the Contender Series, right?
Mm.
And I think that first one, either his Contender Series fight or the first one out, he was hammering away at that calf kick.
Yeah.
And did a load of damage, didn't he?
Yeah. Dong Yun Ma.
Yeah. And he still uses that quite regularly to good effect, doesn't he?
Yeah. His only losses is to Giga Chikadze.
Yeah.
And, that was a decision. But it was also, was that not the first time he went down to featherweight? Yeah, it was. Like, he's been a lightweight all the way through his career. Like, this is the thing that makes no sense. He was 9-0 as a lightweight, went down to featherweight. They matched him against Giga Chikadze and he lost a decision.
He's massive for featherweight.
Yeah, I thought that because I think I called that Dong Yun Ma fight.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's big. He's certainly for featherweight. He's a big dude. He's very athletic. Technically, he seems great. He seems very tough. But then in Pierce, you got someone who's not too dissimilar. Like he's big, tough, athletic, like quite a large array of sort of strikes from standing. It's gonna be.
And that's a horrible fight for Pierce to get coming out of Contender Series. He went straight into the UFC and matched against Joe Lauzon.
Yeah, that's rough, isn't it?
Rough.
Rookie versus veteran.
But that Kai Kamaka,
He was good in the Kamaka.
I think he's been cut off the back of that,
Has he? Kamaka.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's been released.
He was good in that. Yeah. That could be a problematic fight for him, I thought.
Solid top control.
Yeah.
Really strong top control. And I think maybe that's the point of difference because... Like, we saw Morales have a good takedown offense in that fight against Shane Young. He's got good takedown offense against defense, but at some point he's got to open up. At some point he's got to step his foot on the gas. And that's the point where I think that, Pierce can level change and make the most of that forward momentum, put him on his back, and then just work that top control. Like, the thing with Omar Morales is he had a lot of finishes at lightweight. But since he's hit the UFC, I mean, he came off that finish in the Contender Series, but now... All of his fights in the octagon have been decisions.
Was that Rosales in the Contender Series? That weird one. He sort of flashed him as he passed his guard.
No, Harvey Park. He stopped.
Maybe it was the one after. He sort of flashed him as he passed his guard with the right hand, I think. And he wasn't really sort of out, and the ref jumped. It was really tough. It wasn't sure It was just one of those, you went, saw it. He sort of flashed him. It did look like he went out, and then he was immediately back.
Yeah, no, I remember. I think it's a different fight.
Yeah.
I think it's a different fight.
It was quite strange. But, mate, that'll be...
Good place to start the card.
Yeah. I think it'd be close, but maybe Morales takes it.
Yeah.
It's pretty close. It's a great fight to start it.
I think Morales should take it.
A little bit more well-rounded, you think?
My only concern is this weight class is not the right one for him. I don't know why you would go down a weight class when you were healthy and winning fights and stopping people. You know,
yeah.
I don't know whether he maybe ran into a couple of guys. Like, he fought Benitez, didn't he? I don't know whether he ran into a couple of guys and was like, okay, I feel a bit undersized here. But I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case at
all.
But
he looks huge at that weight.
Yeah. But then, you know, what happens if he's really pushed? You know, what happens if he's grounded and he's controlled and, like,
if he does really well and then has to go to 5 rounds and whether he can, you know,
whether he can
do that over 5 rounds.
Yeah. Good shout.
Yeah,
yeah. I think Morales, but with a caveat of I don't know what he's going to look like for the extended period at featherweight.
Yeah,
it just concerns me a bit. I don't think he had much to lose anyway.
No.
So.
No. Yeah. Right.
Anyway,
I'll go with Omar.
Okay, I'll do the same. This next one's an odd one.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Like Semmelsberger, of course, like we've seen him a couple of times in the UFC. You know, he's a good striker. He's aggressive, backs people
like
up.
Him. He's very good on debuting. It's,
Witt.
Oh, I thought it was Minus.
Minus. Now that I'm thinking that quick knockout of Jason Witt.
Yeah, there's a few times he trades the leg kicks with his right hand.
Yeah, that was it.
Straight down the pipe. He got Minus with it, and then he also got Jason Witt with it. But pretty much knocked him out, didn't he?
Yeah. As he threw the kick, right? Stung him and dropped him on the spot. Yeah.
He did. He kind of did pretty good. Chaos Williams just outgunned him a little bit, didn't he? But he did do quite good in that fight. And he dropped a decision, but it wasn't a walkover.
Mm.
He Chaos brought a lot. He brought a lot of power to that fight and just outgunned him a little bit.
Yeah.
Martin Sano, I don't know. Like, he's Nick Diaz's boy, isn't he?
That's got to be the reason why he's on the card.
There's a couple... There's another one further up.
Yeah.
And it's just like I think
he looks all right. He's undefeated.
I just imagine Nick Diaz going, no, I don't. I want to fight, bro. I want to fight Robbie Lawler and I want $1 million and all my boys to fight on the card as well. Yeah. Make it happen. Yeah, all right. I'm out.
Yeah. Enter the 209.
Yeah. And then he's like, and then he's just like, oh, God, I can't be bothered to argue with you anymore. Fine. Put your boys on the card.
Well, this one doesn't make sense. The other guy makes sense because I think, what is he, 6-0?
Yeah, is that the next one?
It's Nick something, isn't it?
Maximov.
That's him.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a cool name as well.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
But this kid, like Martin Sano.
I couldn't really find that much.
His record's 4-2-1. Yeah, I watched a couple. So his record's 4-2-1. But the 2-1 part of his record is his most recent 3 fights. Like, he won 4 fights in a row, one of them against Jeff Neal. Jeff Neal, which is in, you know, so that's a good statement. But then he's got a loss to Dominic Waters by decision, former UFC fighter. He's lost to an undefeated guy called Don Muhammad, and then he lost to a Diego Herzog in Bellator by majority decision.
There just wasn't much in it either. There wasn't anything that really stood out, and I was just like, oh, like, okay, I don't get it.
I expect Semmelsberger to
pick
him
apart.
I think he's got a bit of a gift. Opportunity on this thing. I mean, don't get me wrong, he might prove us wrong, but I don't have high expectations for him. The next dude, for sure.
Yeah.
Maximov, I think he's a
killer grappling.
Yeah.
Killer grappler. And Robertson's is a bit susceptible to a sub, isn't he?
Little bit.
This is it could be
a little bit. Doesn't fight a great deal out of his bad situations, Robertson,
right.
Does he? He tends to get stuck a bit. And this guy's he's alternating between MMA and grappling.
Yeah. He's doing a load of sub grappling, isn't he?
A lot. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That could be it.
It could.
Robertson must have a few mind games going on. His confidence must be pretty low. He understands he's going into a fight with a guy that is going to chase him for subs.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little bit, you know, it's a bit of a test for him.
Undefeated 5-0 as an amateur as well.
Yeah.
All but one being first round submissions or stoppages. Triangles,
Ooh.
3 triangles, first round.
So basically what we're saying, if Nick can get Robertson to the floor, it's probably going to be an early night for him.
I mean, as far as what we've seen on their records, I mean, we've only seen Maximov once on the Contender Series against Oscar Cota, and I mean, his grappling did look good in that, but that's the first time he's fought someone with a winning record.
Yeah,
like if you look down everybody else, it's 1-1, 0-1, 0-2. There's a guy that's 1-10 here. So Robertson, maybe just because he's been in the UFC longer and he's been fighting against a higher level of competition.
Yeah,
but I mean, at least
a lot to be said for that. I think it just becomes the norm. That level of competition becomes your reset norm, and suddenly you're just used to that.
Yeah.
And then anything under that, you're like, oh, all right.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the guys that Robertson's fought, the guys that he's got losses to on his record, Cesar Ferreira, Glover Teixeira, Marvin Vettori, Brendan Allen. He's not like he's not fighting any low level UFC fighters. He's fighting a good tier, and he's getting wins over people as well, Kopilov and Terman. And
yeah, so that's a good win.
Yeah, I actually think I'm going to go with Robertson in this one.
Yeah,
yeah, I just think, although this guy's coming in with an undefeated record, you kind of got to wonder what that level of undefeated fighter is. I mean, a lot of his grappling matches, he's kind of 50-50 on grappling matches.
Mm.
He's got as many wins as losses here.
I'll go Maximov.
We'll see.
I'll go with Nick's boy.
I'm always questioning when there are gimme places on the card.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's weird. You don't see that, especially such a massive card as well.
Yeah, it's happened a few times though. I think it was it Aldo part, like he got Talis Latis re-signed.
Right.
Yeah, it happens from time to time. I mean, sometimes you get a gem out of it.
Yeah.
But then other times this. Doesn't take long for them to be cycled out, though, does it? No. If they're not at that level. Okay, so you're going with Maximov, are you?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, I'm going to go with the UFC veterans, Semelsberger and Robertson, both of those.
I've got Semelsberger as well, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Manon
Firol
against Mayra Bueno Silva.
I think this is going to be
mate. This is
an awesome fight. They are coming at each other, aren't they?
Yeah. I think Bueno Silva's the ideal matchup for someone like Firo, who just she was just way too much for Leonardo, wasn't she? She was just way too aggressive.
Yeah,
against Ricci, brutal, same thing again. Standing TKO, just.
Yeah, she's aggressive, she's tall, she's super athletic, she's got great strikes and range, isn't she? She pops that sidekick, that hopping sidekick, she attacks that. What's that? What's the knee strike that everyone's trying to get rid of? What do they call it?
The oblique kick. The oblique chasse kick.
Yeah. She uses that. She's fast. She's very elastic. We spoke about her once, I think, a good few cards ago.
Yeah.
She's dangerous, man.
She is.
She's dangerous.
She is. And in Bueno Silva, she's got an opponent that's going to be happy to trade with her, but has got a serious ground game.
Yeah.
Like she's
also, her clinch game is nasty, right? And when she gets inside, that tie clinch, elbows, uppercuts, short hooks and stuff. I thought, this is going to be fun. Ferro's got to be careful. I think Ferro can take this.
Mm.
She's got to be careful.
Yeah.
She gets tied up, she gets tucked down, or she gets beaten up against the fence. She's going to be in a bit of trouble. But if she can maintain distance, she's. I definitely think she's sharper in that range.
Yeah. She's got a judo background as well, Ferro. I feel like she's got judo in her background.
Anyone coming out of France has probably got a bit of judo.
Yeah. But I expect if it hits the floor, Bueno Silva might be a bit much for her. I know that Foro's got grappling experience. I mean, I know she's like traveled to compete in ADCC and that kind of thing. But I mean, the first round ninja choke on the Contender Series, and then two first round arm bars, and one of them being Gillian Robertson, who's generally subbing most people that she's fighting.
It's gonna be fire, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a scrappy decision. And I think Bueno Silva might just edge it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. She's got that aggressive edge to her. She's a bit wild.
She is a bit wild.
Mad. Yeah.
Yeah, I quite like her. I think Ferreira will get it, but I like Silva. I like Bueno Silva. She's, she fights nasty.
Mm.
She's coming for her, isn't she?
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Medic. Against Jalen Turner.
Yeah.
Uros Medic against...
He's fucking real good,
He is good.
But he's a little bit untested. He's 7-0. I don't think he's had one decision. I think he's stopped subs, TKOs, KOs. Yep. He's flying. But I wouldn't say his the level that he's... you're all right, Jamie?
You're hungry, mate.
I wouldn't say his level is quite the same as where Jalen's been. Not that Turner's been right up the top or anything, but, you know, he's had a good win. Brock Weaver's a tough challenge. Josh Colibau is a tough challenge. They're solid wins for him. It's a bit of a step up, but watching Medic, he's fucking good, man.
He needs it.
He's good, man.
He needs a step up. He can't keep smashing people in the first and second round. No. We're ready to see him take that jump. Yeah. Now, the point of difference with Jalen Turner and everybody that he fights is that he's massive.
Yeah.
Like, he's huge compared to him. I mean, he's a lightweight at 6'3" with a 75 and a half.
But he went up to welterweight, didn't he? He went up and fought... Luke went, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'll go back down.
Fair enough.
That's enough of that.
Yeah. But, you know, this is it. But it was the same with Colibau. Like, Colibau was short notice, upper weight class.
Yeah.
Just not at all big enough for him. But I think Jalen Turner's a real problem. And I agree that I don't think Medic has been really tested.
Yeah.
It's not like the people on his record have got gimme records. I mean, he's beaten a couple of undefeated fighters, but just not anybody that... Not names that I recognize.
Not names, guys.
Yeah,
I think this is where we'll find out who he's about. We'll get a flavor for him, won't we? When if he can win this is like, oh shit, you're good, and you're good against guys that have, you know, been around a little bit. Not that we're talking about sort of top echelon just yet, but this will be a good step for him if he can win it. Yeah. I like him. I like watching him. I like how he moves and he's you know, hits hard, man.
He's going to struggle to land that flying knee against Jalen Turner.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he might just get it in the solar plexus instead.
I mean, you know, the thing is, if Jalen Turner comes out hard and decides to take him down and goes straight into the guard of Medic and doesn't feel like he's going to get caught in a triangle, you know, there's a possibility. I mean, you know, he's got a couple of triangles off his back. You know, Jalen Turner, long arms, long neck.
Yeah.
You know. That's a good opportunity for him if he finds himself in that position. But if I'm Jalen Turner, I'm keeping him on the end of my jab, and I'm stifling everything that he does.
Yeah,
you know. I think Jalen Turner takes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. But I think he's gonna have to work for it. I think Medic is gonna push him through those first two rounds.
Right, I'm going Medic.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're way off the same page today.
Yeah, but you know, who knows?
That's the fight. The commentators are going, stop the fight, stop the fight, stop the fight, stop the fight, stop the fight.
Which one?
Alan Cruz. And it must have been Medic.
Was it?
I'll show you later, yes. It's pretty funny.
I don't remember that one. Okay. So you go Medic, I'll go Jalen Turner.
You go Turner. Nice. Okay.
Roxanne Modafferi
against
Talita Santos.
She's got a funny, she's just a funny tempo, Roxanne, isn't she?
She's a bit Keith Jardine in the way that she moves.
Janky, as Owen would say. Yeah, very janky. But it sort of worked for her. Like, her striking's got, like, tenfold better than where it was a few years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously we know about her ground game. We know where she's at with that. The problem I think she might have is Tyler is very athletic, very springy, load of power. Probably going to beat her to most punches. I think this might be it might be difficult for her. But like, if she ties her and puts on the floor, she's probably going to have her way with her, isn't she?
It's the thing with Roxanne is that, like, she doesn't have any real physical traits that she leans on that's gotten her through her career.
No.
Like, everything that she's got has been through hard work and through learning and you know... picking yourself up. I mean, she's got 18 losses on her record.
Yeah.
You know, pick yourself resilient. Up and keep going.
But mad resilience.
I think I might have said it before, like when I was out fighting in Japan, like she was over there living in Japan.
Yeah.
Like basically living MMA. She has been for years and years. Like I think as much as a difficult athlete as Talita Santos can be, if she doesn't make that count in the first round, that's when Roxanne starts to unpick her, because now she's had a round to study her and to figure out her ways into the game. She's not stepping in there with the expectation of being able to win anything with athleticism. She's like, okay, I need to get close to her. Well, I need to keep touching her with a jab.
It's a bit like what we're saying about gi and no gi. You know, you can't out athleticize people in gi quite as much because it's slower and you have to like work out of positions instead of get into a half position. Go, I'm not quite sure if I'm in here or not. Boom, we'll go. Mm. I think she like Roxanne. Like she sort of twitches like a gi. Like she's just like she's got like an anaconda. She's a bit like an anaconda, and she just wears you down, and you know wraps you up, and eventually gets you. Whereas Tyler is like the opposite. A lot of bounce, a lot of power. But I see what you're saying. If she doesn't get her out of there in the first round, she's going to get worn down. She'll be assessed and dismantled by Roxanne.
Mm. Like Roxanne could have a really, really rough first round where she's beaten to the punch and she's, you know, she's her takedowns are stuffed and she can't keep a hold of her. But then in that second round, when that can't keep up with the punches because she spent that energy and can't take her down because she spent that energy and can't control her because she spent that energy because she's not necessarily doing it technically because she's got the fire to burst out of circumstances. That's when Roxanne then all of a sudden, at the halfway through the second round, now she finds herself in mount and this girl's got nothing to get out of that with.
Yeah.
I'm going Roxanne.
Yeah,
I can't go against Roxanne.
All right.
Anyone that dresses up as anime for the scales gets my vote. Don't take yourself too seriously. Hang on a minute. As a record, has she just picked up another loss? Between clicking refresh, there's another loss.
Right now, live.
Oh, hang on a minute. No, 25-18 is her record on Tapology. I'm talking about Roxanne. And then if you look at UFC stats, it's 25-19.
All right. Maybe it's live.
Mm. Live scoring. She's already lost.
Fucking hell, she lost some grappling bouts. She's lost some bouts on the bounce.
Yeah.
Heel hook, armbar, lost to Araujo.
But you know what?
Toe hold.
She's always given it her all.
Yeah.
And she's always had a lovely time. Counts for something, man, I'm telling you. Counts for something. She keeps fucking showing up.
Yeah. We've had that chat about, you know, up at our gym. At some stage, you just have to keep going.
Yeah.
That's what I tell myself at the end of every session. Just show up tomorrow.
But like,
no, you just have to accumulate time. You can't get around it, really. There's, you just have to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
Take the shots, take the shit days. Like, remember the good days, if you know, they're few and far between, and gradually they'll come more and more. And, you know, that's just life of acquiring skills and acquiring experience, isn't it?
For sure.
Yeah.
And the other thing you have to bear in mind is that Roxanne's already worked her way through all those difficult years where she might have quit. And she's now getting to the stage where she's getting the belts in jiu-jitsu and she's winning the fights in the UFC and she's living the life that she wants to live. Mm. Like she's had that reinforcement of, you might have got 18 or 19 losses on your record, but you're still fucking here.
Yeah.
You've still got your wig on the scales and you've still got a grin on your face.
Yeah. So you're enjoying your life.
Go Roxanne. Go nice. Roxanne. I think it's going to be a really difficult fight.
Yeah.
But I think she'll come through. With her Jardine like tenacity and
it's Tyler round one or the other or Roxy, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I mean she might just blast her out of the water. She might be all fired up and wild and Roxanne might just not be able to keep a hold of her in that first round. But I don't know. If I look at who Santos has fought and who she's beaten by decision as well, you know, Gillian Robertson and Molly McCann didn't stop either of them.
No.
I think she'll probably struggle to stop Roxanne, which gives Roxanne time to get into the fight.
Too wily to catch.
Yeah.
Yeah. A
little bit.
All right, your boy. Your boy, Chris.
Yeah, man.
Chris Daukaus. You like him, don't you?
I'm a fan of Chris Daukaus.
Tough fight.
For sure.
Tough fight for both of them. It's going to be a good fight. It's a tough fight.
Abdurahimov's like a cube.
Yeah. But he's got that solid wrestling game, hasn't he? That he, you know, is his bread and butter. But he's built quite a nice, simple striking game off the back of it, hasn't he? Do you know what I mean? He has a couple of shots that he hides his shot and his right hand behind each other, sort of thing. Don't you know? Because they look relatively similar, you're not really sure what he's coming at.
Mm.
God, that's a huge win over Tybura.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is a big win. And but you know, he's a fighter that kind of sometimes doesn't show up and give his best. And that this is where Abdulrahimov, this is why he's still in the UFC after I don't know how many fights. He's been around for a while, hasn't he? 2015 he made his debut. But like, you know, came through, you know, Pro FC and M1 and stuff. He's got a win on his record over someone called Shamil Abdulmuslimov. That must have been a pain in the ass for the commentators. Can you imagine that?
Where was it though? Because it might be as complicated as
Pro FC 15.
What country is that?
Let's have a look. Moscow.
Yeah, that's probably just like.
Yeah, but even we had two fighters on the card. It was Alan Omar against Arnold Allen.
Oh, okay.
And you just can't say Alan.
You know? Yeah, right.
Alan.
He got Curtis Blaze straight after that. He was just too fast and too powerful for him, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And that, you know, that might be the situation here because Chris, like, the reason why I like Chris Dowd is because he's a big old heavyweight but doesn't move like one.
Yeah, no.
Like, he's slick in and out of range. He's got good hands. We've not even need to see him use his jiu-jitsu yet, and he is a black belt as well.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like he kind of bookends what Abdurrahimov's good at. I think he's going to be too fast and his hands are too good for him on the feet, as long as he doesn't get clocked with something stupid on the way in. But I feel like he's fast enough and I think he's smart enough with his boxing to feint those out.
It's a step up for Chris, you know. He's not like, there's more diverse problems than Olenek and Parker Porter. Do you know what I mean? He's got a couple more problems he's going to have to deal with.
I don't know his Abdurrahimov's it though.
No?
No. I think it's another logical step because Daukus has not really been struggling. Like it's time to step him up. It's time to see, you know, I mean, he has got that loss on it. He has got losses on his record, but it's, you know, it's been a while ago. 2015, last time he was submitted. Obviously, you know, time's passed. He's a black belt now. And I would imagine that submission loss was a driving factor in working his jiu-jitsu. And the only other loss since then, he was stopped in 2019. And that might be one of those situations where that could quite easily replay in this fight, where he just steps into range, Abdurrahimov comes over the top and cracks him, and it just happens because it's heavyweights and he caught him clean. But that's where the intelligence and wisdom of heavyweights comes into play a lot more, because you need to tease those shots out of your opponent with feints.
Yeah.
And I've seen that with Chris Dowkus.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think if Abdurrahimov puts him on his back... We're going to see his jiu-jitsu, aren't we? We've not really needed to see it yet. Abdurrahimov's got some good wins on his record, but he's also got, you know, he's also got some fights that, like, I feel like he should have beaten Derek Lewis.
Yeah.
Like, that was a fight Abdurrahimov should have been able to beat him, you know?
He'd have put himself on the map with that, wouldn't he?
For sure, yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're all right.
Which way are you going? You were going to go Shamil, weren't you?
I'm going to go with Shamil.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No chance.
No, don't reckon.
Dowkus is all over it.
Okay, we'll see.
He's all over it. He's too fast. He's too athletic.
He will definitely have the speed advantage.
Yep.
For sure.
Four fight win streak, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt.
Yeah.
All over it.
All right. I hope he doesn't get caught.
Me too.
With the right hand.
Me too. Okay, I think people are realizing now, though, after watching this podcast for a couple of weeks, that I just kind of...
You have no idea.
No, I have no idea. None of us do we? Let's be honest.
I do. Stats don't lie. I do, and I've got stats to back them up.
Is that right? Yeah.
I've got my analytics department working on it as we speak.
Analytics department, yeah. Righto. Okay.
Well, I'm glad this is still happening.
Is it, though?
Is it? You know, it is.
I don't fucking know.
What do you mean?
Hooker's on his way, but now I saw a summit with Hak Parast. He's not sure whether he's going to get his visa.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I saw that earlier today.
Why would it be left this late to get visas?
I don't know. The same reason I got 2 days' notice for the first flight island. It's like, you're already packed and on your way to the airport.
Aren't you?
No. Oh, well, you're going to be 4 hours late then.
Okay. So this might not be happening.
I don't know. We can.
Looking forward to seeing Dan Hooker back in there. Like, it seems an age.
It does.
Well, how long is it?
It does, but it's not been an age, is it? Like, you lost to Chandler in Fight Island.
Yeah, it just seems like that was ages and ages ago.
Yeah.
When was that?
Yeah, first month of the year. It was the end of January.
It's not that long, is it?
Not been ages.
No.
He is somewhat isolated over there, though, isn't he? Like, there's a lot of madness going on over there. I keep seeing it on people's Instagrams. Mate, and
It's going, oh, well, he's in...
He's in New Zealand, isn't he?
I don't think he's quite as bad, but it's kicking off in Australia.
Yeah. There were protests in New York as well. I saw it on my phone yesterday.
Yeah.
Anti-health passport protests.
Yeah, it's kicking
off. Fuck that noise.
Not here, mate.
Fuck that noise.
Nope. That is not happening in my life.
You set a precedent for the government injecting shit into your compulsory and you've set a precedent you can't budge. No thanks.
No way.
Get it, don't get it.
Do what, no, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. I don't care. Don't care. Do whatever you want.
Don't care. I'm not telling you whether I've got mine or not, because it doesn't matter. And it's none of your goddamn business.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
A little political tangent there. Where are we?
So, let's talk about it. If you're still going, Hooker and Hackprest.
I fucking love this fight. I really hope it happens. I'm trying not to get my hopes up in case it doesn't. Hackprest has always impressed me when he's been out there. The time he impressed me more than ever was when he fought Mark Jacasey, because I thought Jacasey might be a bit too much for him. Like, Hackprest was coming off a loss to Marcin Held in his UFC debut, and I'm like, okay. Now he's matched up against Jacasey, who had just the stiff Tibau, what's his name? I was going to say Tibau Guti then. It's the... Let me pull up his record and check. Timu Pakalin. Do you remember that? Caught him with that counter left and just...
stiff.
Fell stiff. Yeah. But then... I don't know. I just always feel like Dan Hooker doesn't fight to his potential because he comes to fight more than he comes to win. And I love that, because I think a lot of competitors come to win more than they come to fight, and I think that shows as well. But you have to find the balance right. And the issue that Dan Hooker's got is that he's got himself up to the top of the sport with some good wins, and now he's in that echelon, same as Anthony Smith,
just
where
savages.
You know, they're just the killers. His last especially 10 at fights. Lightweight.
Just absolute savages, isn't they? You just don't get one off, do you?
Never.
You just don't get one off at all. And this ain't much better. Do you know what I mean? Mm. He's going in against Nazareth, who, you know, he's got some firepower, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's got some firepower, he's got some lovely skill.
Well conditioned, low center of gravity, keeps a good pace. My concern for Hackprest are the knees of Dan Hooker, because he's tall and he stands tall and he brings those knees up the center line, and Hackprest is kind of in that space where he might catch a chin with a knee.
I thought one of Hooker's most impressive sort of game planning fights was the Felder fight, where he just skirted and picked at him, and then I think he got a bit tired of doing that, didn't he, and then got lulled into exactly what Felder wants to do, which
that's
is...
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. I got so much shit for that fight.
Oh, really?
From both sides, from Felder supporters and from Dan Hooker supporters. Both of them telling me I was biased. But the thing is, it's like...
nothing could reaffirm how unbiased you are than both sides saying you're biased.
But it was like, because the fight swung so quickly.
Yeah.
Like you watch the first round.
He's killing it.
He's smashing it.
Killing it.
Like, Felder doesn't look like he's going to make it 25 minutes. He gets such a beating in that first round. So then, like, you're coming out the first round and you're going, that was a rough round for Felder. Really rough round for Felder. And then he goes into the second round and starts putting on a performance. And then everyone's all of a sudden going, you're biased in that first round. No, just because he's had a good second round doesn't mean he didn't get the shit beaten out of him in the first.
No, he was getting lit up in that first round. I was like, this is a great game plan. You're executing the game plan that you need to execute to win this. Why the fuck would you want to get in there and stand in front of him?
But he did the same thing with Edson Barbosa.
Yeah.
Like in the Edson Barbosa fight, he stayed in a place where he could get hit.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily. Mm. And I don't know whether that was a game plan that started to slip away from him and he didn't change tact, because the smart thing to do with Barbosa is to stay close to him. But if he's battering you, you've got to switch it up.
Change something,
I mean, he was just like, even the crowd in that one, you could kind of start feeling them swaying, like, okay, the referee could stop this one if he wants now. Because he kept getting put down. He was clearly getting back to his feet, badly hurt, and Barbosa was putting him down again. He took such a beating in that fight unnecessarily.
Yeah.
You know? And even, you know, even the Paul Felder fight, like you said, started off really well, but then just gets drawn into a brawl.
Yeah.
And I think that's partly because he was carrying that event, you know, first time in New Zealand and expectations and stuff. And then he kind of sets his stall out, and he's the same guy for Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler. And it might be enough to beat Hackbarast.
Yeah, it's a tough fight off the back of two losses like that, yeah. Isn't it?
Especially if you don't change anything.
Like Hackbarast is probably outguns him a little bit, right? Like if you're just looking at
power-wise,
he outguns him.
Yeah.
I think Hooker's got a great chance if he stays technical and doesn't get lulled in. If he gets lulled in and he stands in front of Nasrat and Nasrat lets go, he's going to hurt him bad, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is going to hurt him.
I think it's hands for Hackbarast. I think it's power in his hands, and I think for Hooker, it's going to be those knees up the centre line and that calf kick that he battered Felder with.
Yeah.
You know, because Hackbarast does have a long low stance.
I feel like he can get in and get out without getting touched.
Who, Hackbarast or Hooker?
No, Hooker can get in and get out without getting touched, but...
That's a choice, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a choice whether he decides he wants to do it. Because he might get in and out for the first round and then go, fuck it, second round, let's bang.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of playing into his hands a bit. Because Hooker doesn't use his height and reach advantages. Not ever.
No.
You know?
Again, in that Felder fight, he's got some lovely fake work and then letting it go. Like, he picked him up. He did pick him apart for a little bit in that first round.
Yeah.
I just wonder whether he can. That's the sort of game plan that he, you know, skirt, snipe him.
It is if he can stick to it.
Yeah.
So my concern is that he can't stick to it. You look at Adesanya and you can look at a couple of his fights and go, well, he could have overextended himself in the Yoel Romero fight and that could have cost him, you know. He did overextend himself in the Gastelum fight and it cost him.
Yeah.
But then he was able to pull that back.
Yeah.
I don't, like, Hooker starts off well and then once he goes, fuck it, let's have a fight.
Yeah.
There's no pulling it back from there. That's my concern. Yeah, it's just decision making. I feel like Hooker should win. If you put the same fight IQ in both fighters, Hooker wins. But I don't...
It's razor thin. Yeah. It is razor thin. I think Hooker maybe should take it.
Mm.
But I hope it happens. And yeah, but it's going to be pretty close, isn't it?
I think Hackbarast is probably three or four fights off being in the top 10 contention. Like, this is a big opportunity for him.
Yeah,
like, he's unranked, isn't he?
Currently. Yeah, I don't think so. Unless he's. Unless
I'm just
he's
looking like... on the. I'm just looking on Tapology. Worldwide, he's ranked 25th compared to Hooker's 8th, but obviously they're not the UFC rankings.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a big fight for Hackbarast, and I think he's much better at sticking to a game plan. I think that's what we saw against Marcha Casey.
Yeah. Like,
if he comes in and puts on that kind of performance, and we get Dan Hooker wanting to scrap. Then, yeah, Hackbarast's not ranked.
No.
Big risk for Dan Hooker.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Big risk. Fair play.
Yeah, fair play. Similar to the guy coming up, he just doesn't have easy fights.
Mm.
And he doesn't shy away from the name, doesn't shy away from anyone, does he?
Yeah.
It's a funny, like, that wanting to have a fight thing. It's just a funny balance in it. Like, yeah, man, you need it.
Yeah.
Not too much, otherwise you get drawn in when you don't need to get drawn in.
Yeah, it's part of the discipline, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which way are you going?
I'm going Hooker. I think he should take it.
Mm.
But it's close, isn't it?
It is. I'm the same. I'm thinking Hooker should take it, but it's not that he won't kick the door wide open for Hackbarast and Hackbarast will march through it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Hopefully it happens.
Okay. This next one's awesome.
Yeah.
Marlon Moraes, Merab Dvalishvili.
Same with Marlon, man. He's just swimming in that pool of absolute sharks in the bantamweight division.
Yeah.
This is a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is a lot of fun. And Dvalishvili is a different fight to his last couple as well. And I think that's part of the reason why this matchup's been made. I mean, you know, if you look at Dvalishvili, every one of his fights in the UFC has been a decision win.
Yeah.
Marlon Moraes does not need to be fighting someone who's going to take his head off, and I don't think Dvalishvili is going to be that guy. If he loses, it's because he got wrestled fuck for 15 minutes, right?
Mm.
Dvalishvili, I love his pace and I love his chain wrestling. That's the basis of his game, and anything else on top of that is a bonus. He comes in there to wrestle to win.
Yeah,
Marlon Moraes has got some wicked Muay Thai skills, and I think if he can keep this fight standing, then he can apply those skills. But there's always a risk in overextending himself on a kick or a knee and getting taken down. And then, you know, you might spend the next 90 seconds trying to get back to your feet. You've spent a bit of energy, you know, you're a bit discouraged.
I mean, he's a he's a black belt, right? Morales is a black belt, but Dalishvili's got that wrestle top game that almost nullifies jiu-jitsu, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's like we'll talk about a little bit later with the Volkanovski-Ortega fight. Like, Volkanovski's not graded in Brazilian jiu-jitsu in the same... I mean, what is he? Maybe a purple belt or something like that? But he's not using it.
No.
Like, he's using it to understand it, to not allow anybody else to do it.
To nullify it.
And I think that's where Dvalishvili's really good. But then, the threat for Marlon Moraes isn't off his back, is it? The threat for Marlon Moraes is when he's on his feet.
Yeah.
Like, he's not winning by submissions. He's got a rear naked choke against Shaman Moraes on his record. But, like, he's not got a submission since he's joined the UFC. Two rear naked chokes on his record. Total.
This is not an easy reset fight for him, is it? Like, he's off the back of two stoppages, and then he's just got this hurricane coming after him that he's not going to stop for a second of any of the rounds, is it?
No. He's most likely, unless obviously, he's been hurt a couple of times recently, unless he's not able to take a shot, I think he'll be able to take a shot from Morab.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think he will. I don't think he's... That's like I said, I think, if I'm a matchmaker, I'm looking at Marlon and thinking, okay, he could do with a stern test that's not a dangerous test for him. And I think Marab brings pace, and he brings, an intensity that Marlon Moraes can solve with being technical. It's not
Rob Font violence.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not scary power.
Yeah.
Like, they've not matched him up against a big puncher in the division where all of a sudden it's like, okay, I've just been stopped twice and now I'm, sometimes they do that. Sometimes I got knocked out by Condit and then matched up with Rumble Johnson. You go, someone's trying to get me fucking cleaned out. You know what I mean? You're like,
are you trying to get me killed?
I can see, but this doesn't feel like that. This feels like they're going, okay.
You can see the matchmaking game sometimes, can't you? You can see the thread of what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
It was, I was saying earlier, it was that Morales did that. It was almost like a pull to a takedown in the Rob Font. He was doing really good in that Rob Font fight, wasn't he? Before he wasn't.
Yeah.
As so often is the case. But yeah, he sort of pulled him. He pulled him, got him to throw a jab, and just shot under that takedown, and just shot under the jab and took him down real fast. It was very nice.
Mm.
I've got Morales.
Have you?
Yeah, I've got Morales. Hey, yeah, Morales. Yeah. Marlon.
Yeah. I agree. I think Marlon.
Yeah.
I think Marlon Moraes. It's
not going to be easy. It's going to be a lot of hard work in it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of wishful thinking perhaps there. I like Dvalishvili, but I prefer watching Moraes' style.
Yeah.
The knockout that he got over Jimmy Rivera. See, that's the thing that sticks out in my mind, is that the knockout knee against Aljo and the knockout kick against Rivera. It's that lead leg, and if he's able to just keep a bit of space, he might be able to drop that on Marab.
Yeah, cool. That's gonna be
a hell of a fight.
Well, it could be a lot of fun, or it could be Marlon just getting snuffed out and lying on a little bit. It sort of depends, doesn't it?
Yeah. I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah,
that's not happening in this next one though.
No.
So which way are you going? You're going Marlon.
Yeah, I'll go Marlon. Yeah,
I'll do the same. So Jessica Andrade against Cynthia Calvillo. This is a tough fight for Calvillo, who is obviously, she's a wrestler. She's an aggressive striker with a wrestling background.
Yeah,
she's got some subs. She's dealing with someone that's a world title challenger though, and a former world champion in a different division.
Who fights to fight?
Yeah,
like she fights angry, don't she?
Yeah, she does. And so does Cynthia. And I think Cynthia's more technical of the two. I think probably if you look at them skill wise, if you write down all the individual skills they've got, I would probably say Cynthia's definitely has a better ground game. She's probably a technically better wrestler as well, but the horsepower that Andrade brings to the table,
especially
is
for 5 foot one. Like, where's that power?
And that body shot that she landed on Chikagian.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of my ribs is still bruised from that punch.
Cynthia got caught out trying to fight Chikagian in Chikagian's range, didn't she? That was the problem. And anytime she sort of shot, she just got heavy hips sprawled on the back of her head. This won't be the same problem with Jessica, I don't think.
No.
She's going to close the distance. She's going to go focus on her power. She's going to hit to her, isn't she? It's going to be tough.
This fight will come to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my concern with her, obviously, you know, Andrade went from bantamweight to strawweight and then back up. And Cynthia's recently made that move up as well. But the muscle mass that Jessica Andrade got, even if she is the shorter fighter of the two, she's going to feel very, very strong and powerful by comparison to other people in this weight class as well.
Yeah, well, is it rank one versus rank? I'm not sure who wants to be number one contender, to be honest, in that division. Because then your next fight is Valentina.
And you just count it out by everybody. It was so difficult doing the war room for it. Most of the comments on the war room are like, you made it to 7 minutes.
Congratulations.
Well, very good. The breakdown's probably longer than the fight's going to be.
Yeah.
There's just a chasm, isn't there, between Shevchenko. But then I think that kind of undermines how dangerous Andrade is.
Yeah.
Because she was able to deal with her so easily. She dealt with her skill-wise very easily. But I would also say that Shevchenko has got the physicality to contend there as well. Mm. And I don't know if Cynthia Calvillo's got that physical strength.
No, it just doesn't seem the same. You know, you just watch them both perform. It doesn't seem the same cadence or the same power output.
No.
It just seems, yeah.
I mean, I know this MMA math doesn't work, but, like, Calvillo is coming up from strawweight.
Mm.
Shevchenko came down from bantamweight when they made the flyweight division, has just been untouchable there, but was number one contender at bantamweight as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then Jessica Andrade went from bantamweight, where she was a challenger, down to strawweight, where she's a champion. I think she's found her right spot here. I don't know if this is the right place for Calvillo or whether it's a solution to not wanting to diet so hard, because she's struggled with her weight a few times, but she's not shredded.
No,
I mean, if you gave Calvillo the discipline that Andrade had to get from bantamweight to strawweight, or Jared Cannonier going from heavyweight to middleweight, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you can see some discipline
and control in it
for sure.
I mean, I got Andrade.
I think she's gonna murder her.
Yeah,
but then
it's funny, like, she's not gonna beat Valentina.
No, she's Benavidez'd.
Yeah, exactly.
Rough spot to be in.
He's retired yesterday, didn't he? Or the day before?
Yeah, a couple of days ago. Yeah, a few people have retired. Condit retired as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool. It's cool.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, but you know what's sad about it is that it's very rare that someone retires and it's like, oh, this guy retired. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm retiring.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Yeah, it should be a celebration. You get out there on your terms with your wits about you after a good, solid career. Fucking fair play.
Yeah.
Big move. Big moves.
Big move. Or you could be Anderson Silva and starting a new career at 46. I'm a boxer now. Wicked. Are you going with Andrade, are you, for this one?
Yeah.
I agree. I think she's just too much physically. And she's got the gas tank. We know. We've seen her do 25 minutes and she's terrifying at the start and the last.
She's good.
Yeah.
She's
a solid number one contender.
Yeah, and always will be. It's funny, I seen, maybe it was yesterday, Valentina was on Instagram. Oh, no, she was on a show, and she was basically saying, I've been doing martial arts for like 34 years. Some of these guys aren't even that old. I've been in martial arts longer than, you know, basically I came out of the womb and I was.
Yeah. I mean, she kind of was. I mean, her mum was probably drilling judo while she was pregnant with the.
She's sort of basically saying there's nothing in this game that I'm going to be surprised by. There's nothing I haven't seen. Every technique you think you know, I know. Like, this is why I'm the best.
And you can't call her a bullshitter.
No.
You go, yep.
But it was even the way she said it, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, you're right, yeah.
Yeah. Matter of fact, yeah.
Yeah.
But it is matter of fact when you get to that stage, you know? It's
mastery in it. She's mastery. She's mastered it. And we talked about it when she did beat Andrade, and she just went, oh, what's the like most direct route I can use to get this job done?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where can I put her where she can't touch me?
Yeah.
And I can do that. What I like. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Like, you've got to think, if you put her in a frame that was comparable with Amanda Nunes as far as power and size, I would say she's probably the more technical of the two all round. you know?
Yeah.
I like the ferocity that Nunes brings, but there is an untidiness to it, which you don't see in Shevchenko's game.
Yeah, which could get picked apart by the right person. It's just Shevchenko's too.
I mean, they had close fights, you know? Yeah. They had close fights.
Yeah.
One of them was a split decision, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. We went off on a Shevchenko tangent, but we are coming back round to that fight, aren't we? So...
Yeah, we are coming up there.
So
yeah.
You're going Andrade.
I'm going Andrade.
Right, let's talk about these heavyweights then. Blaydes against Rozenstrike.
All day.
Curtis Blaydes.
All day.
All day.
Yeah, I think it will go down like the Overeem fight went all down. All day. Except probably no leg lock attempts that Overeem was chasing so much.
Yeah.
I just think he smothers him. You know, we've seen Rozy on his back foot, twitchy and
waiting.
And I just think that's not going to be a good look for Curtis Blaydes. Curtis Blaydes is like fucking really good. He's not as good as he should be. He's really fucking good though.
Yeah.
Very powerful. Obviously, he's got great wrestling. He's got a great controlling top game. I think they barely touch each other. And we do a bit of this. And then Curtis Blaydes doubles him, puts him on his back and potentially finishes him.
Quite possibly.
I don't think Rosie will have much off his back to trouble him, do you?
No, I don't. It's the transition to the ground is the only real threat I think for Curtis Blaydes. Because I think once he's there and he can, like, once he's done it once, it'll be easier to do the next time around. Yeah. And I think once his confidence is in place from the first one, then game on. But his kryptonite is rushing into range and getting hit with people while he's trying to take him down.
Mm.
Like Derek Lewis caught him with that uppercut that was from hell.
Yeah.
And same thing with Ngannou. Like a couple of times he's fought Ngannou. Like he's been on his way in, getting cuffed around the sides of the head while he's reaching.
Yeah.
And I think Blaydes wins it, but I go back to that Rozenstrike against Arlovski fight when he stepped back, counter left hook on the side of the head. Like Rozenstrike does have good striking. He does have good awareness. And I do think that there are going to be opportunities if Curtis Blaydes isn't smart with his setups where he can get pinged on the way in.
Mm.
And I do think Rozenstrike's got the power to hurt him clean, hurt him and knock him out cold. Same as Ngannou, same as Derek Lewis. And then you've got to think he's coming off that loss to Derek Lewis where he level changed onto an uppercut.
Mm.
Like, where's his confidence
fucking
at?
His head or not.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, he you know... He's got the blueprint. The Overeem fight, there's more power than is needed to knock him out for something coming back from Overeem. He couldn't quite catch him. He couldn't quite time it and, you know, blazed him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his blueprint. But like you say, whether he's a bit head fucked off that last result or not and the way it went down, I don't know, but I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't do what he does.
Yeah. I think Blaydes should win it, but my only concern is that moment where he goes, okay, now's the time for a takedown.
Yeah.
And Biggie Boys
just rushes it.
Boom! Or bang, catches him on the way in.
Yeah. Yeah. Blaydes for me. Blaydes for you by the sound of it.
Blaydes for me.
Yeah.
Blaydes for me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But I do like the possibilities. All right, people's main event.
Definitely the people's main event.
Go on then.
Well, you've done a war room, haven't you? I mean, I have watched your war. I don't normally watch them because I just feel like I'll just end up stealing everything you say and repeating it back to you. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's very insightful, Ollie. Well done. But it's just they just radiate. Both of them sort of radiate the spirit of fighting, really, don't they? And these are the kind of guys that drew me into the sport in the first place. And you know that's why I'm involved in the sport. You know, fights like this, they're tough, they're skilled, they're gamers can be, really. They're not at their peak. You know, we're not stupid, but they're both not at their peak. And they might not be at their peak physically, but there is something about spending time on this planet and what age gives you and what experience gives you that doesn't necessarily mean that being older is worse.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I would suggest potentially they're mentally in better places and they understand the sport and how to interact with each other better than they would have ever done. Now, they might not be able to execute at the speed that they used to be able to do it at, but like you say, they're both, you know, they're both probably dropped off the physical peak.
Yeah.
Nick's been stopped once by Dr. Stoppage, right?
Yeah, cuts.
And that's it.
Mm.
Never been... KJ Nunes. KJ News and Jeremy Jackson finished him, didn't they?
Yeah.
But what was the...
The KJ Noons ones was a cut, though, wasn't
it? Yeah, yeah. So he's never been to finish.
He's never been starched. I don't think he's ever been subbed either. What did Jeremy Jackson catch him with? I thought he armbarred Jeremy Jackson. Yeah, he did. So, you know, okay, yeah, he lost the first one on the California region and then beat him twice since, stopped him both times.
So he's basically impossible to finish.
Yeah.
Unless you open him up.
Uh-huh.
And
triangle choke in his very first pro fight against a guy called Mike Wick.
Wow.
Who's the brother of John Wick, so, you know, kind of.
Elite assassin.
Yeah. Beat Chris Lytle by a split decision in his second pro fight as well. It's mad you go back through Nick Diaz's record and you read the names on it.
Name after name after name.
And they're names from a generation of fighters that now are no longer around, you know? Like Hayato Sakurai.
Yeah.
You know, Scott Smith, Frank Shamrock, Thomas Denny. Remember Wildman Thomas Denny with the crazy hair? You know? Like, obviously, Gleason Tibau. Josh Neer, the dentist. Sean Shirk, Joe Riggs, he's still about.
Transcended. He's just transcended.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, a generation. Do you reckon that's two generations? Is that?
I think it's more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a couple
I'd say Nate was the generation after.
Yeah.
But then he's only just really started to come into his own last few years.
True. So Lawler, if Lawler loses, it's usually by sub or decision, right?
Has Lawler been stopped? I mean, he got subbed by, what's his name? Askren, but I don't count that.
No, no.
I mean, he got knocked out by Woodley, didn't he? The bulldog choke. Yeah, I don't count that.
It was a
decision loss to Magny, to Covington, decision loss to RDA, decision loss to Hendricks and to Larkin. He lost to Jacare by rear naked choke. Yeah, but that was also at middleweight.
A guillotine to Jake Shields.
Jake Shields.
So there's
Evan Tanner triangle choke. I mean, I think his sub-defense is better now. His sub-defense is definitely better now. I don't know. I mean,
they're going to stand up, right?
The point
they're
in which
they're just going to stand up across from each other.
The point in which Robbie Lawler ends up in a submission is when he decides he's taking the fight to the floor.
Yeah,
and I just don't think Nick's going to come out and waste energy. I mean, one thing that you can say about Robbie Lawler is he's always in good physical shape.
Yeah,
I know he's taken some beatings, and we think of the split lip against Rory McDonald and stuff, but he doesn't look like worse for wear. He looks like he's built for fighting in the first place.
Yeah,
like he's got the right kind of head shape and like brow
traps
line
and
chin and yeah, he's just built
bones.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's built like he's constructed for combat
for sure.
Nick, although he's not had a fight in a long time, took so much beatings, so many beatings in his earlier career. Even fights that he won, he came out as in a bloody mess.
Just a mess.
And part of his game is to waterboard you until you crack.
Yeah.
But a part of that process of him waterboarding you is that he's going to get wet himself. And he does. You know what I mean? He gets beat. Like Paul Daly had him almost out with a couple of shots, and then he was able to turn that around against Paul Daly. He got that win, but he also took a couple of shots in the process.
Yeah.
Like Takanori Gomi, I mean, I know it was a no contest, but he took a hell of a beating walking him down to get his hands on him. That's the problem, is that Nick has to throw 40 shots to have an impact on you, whereas Robbie Lawler can catch you with one clean. I mean, you saw the clip of the Manhoff, eyes down, fuck, I'm losing this fight,
Dink.
Boom, and he's just...
Yeah.
Matt Lindland, same thing, you know?
Manhoff. I don't know which way to go. I feel like that sways it. That concept sways it. They're probably not going to wrestle each other. They're probably not going to go on the floor. Nick's going to have to throw 500 punches, and Robbie's going to have to throw about four to actually to do some damage. But Nick doesn't get put away like that very often, does he?
This is it.
He never gets put away like that.
This is why he's an unknown commodity. Because even though Robbie's coming off four losses, I know what he looks like in 2020.
Yeah.
I know what he looks like in a fight in 2020 and 2019.
I just don't know what Nick's been doing. Like, if he's been running triathlons or he's been getting on the piss or...
He spent a lot of time on the piss, that's for sure. Like there was a whole point where his Instagram was just him in Vegas with a drink in his hand.
Yeah.
You know? I saw him at one of the shows once, you know? Because I've never really had a proper conversation with him, but we've had a, like there was after the GSP fight, as soon as the fight was over, I went through the gates and backstage to leave the building, and he went out the other exit and we passed backstage.
Yeah.
And like, as he's walking towards me, he's talking about the fight, and he's talking about, he remembers when I fought him and I just kept moving, so he was never able to really land a clean shot. But it was like a passing conversation that we were having as we were walking towards one another. And then we just kind of like acknowledged and just passed by, and that was it.
Yeah. Right.
And then, he was at the bar in Vegas for, I think, McGregor Khabib. And we were like both standing, like just watching the fights above, and everyone was at the bars watching over the side and stuff. And we just kind of just made eye contact and then looked back up at the fights. And then again, he just went. I'm like,
that's sick.
Nice one, Nick.
That's fucking cool. That's a fucking cool story.
He's a funny dude, man. I can't wait to see him back.
Yeah, man.
I'm thankful for the UFC matching him correctly.
Yeah, right. Fuck yeah. Really, you won't want him in there with some fucking 28-year-old. You know what I mean? Yeah, no way.
That was my concern of him coming back. This is a really well-matched fight.
Yeah, it's wicked. And there's not many of these left. There's not many of these.
Well, we just lost Condit. Condit's gone. You know, yeah. Matt Brown's the one that's in this group here. Like, you see Matt Brown fight the winner of this for sure. You know?
Yeah.
But Condit's the one that should have got the winner of this fight.
Yeah.
Or me.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who to pick. I don't really care who wins it. It's wicked. I'm glad it's happening. I'm glad they've matched it how they've matched it. I'm glad these two are fighting again.
Can we drop a little fence into this one, Jim? Yeah. And just stamp us both on the fence.
Yeah. Square on the fence.
Yeah. My only concern is that I don't know anything about Nick. If I was betting, I'd be backing Robbie Lawler, because I've seen him, even if he's losing, recently, I've seen him in good shape over rounds.
Yeah.
And we also know that it's power versus volume.
I wonder how much like head trauma Nick's took in the last 3 or 4 years, though. Do you know what I mean? Like
probably just from alcohol.
Yeah, internally rather than externally.
Yeah. Depends how hard he was slamming them tequilas.
Yeah, yeah. Right. All right.
No, I can't wait for it. No pick.
But I'm going to enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Right. Lauren Murphy's definitely going to win this.
Yeah, yeah, you reckon?
100%.
That's the pick. Stamp it. We're done.
Stamp it. She's going to shoot a panic double off the first exchange.
You just fucked your odds up right there. You just
panic double.
Your ratio's just dropped.
As she shoots that panic double, she's like, oh shit. And she's like so excited about it. And then she manages to, like, in the transition, pass the side control. And you're like, oh fuck, everything's going right. And then Valentina, like, starts to get up and she snatches a guillotine. She locks it in and she gets a real tight squeeze on and just finishes it dead.
You reckon?
100% that is not going to happen.
I don't think Lauren Murphy's going to touch her.
No. There's not a fucking chance, is there?
I don't think she's going to touch her.
There is not a fucking chance.
Mm-mm. She'd have a better shot throwing tennis balls from across the octagon.
Yeah.
I think, fair play to her for creating this opportunity for herself. It's just sometimes the person sitting atop the throne
is really fucking good.
Is really, really fucking good.
She's really fucking good, isn't she?
Really good. I spent a good 7 minutes breaking this down on
which
the
was
war
impressive.
Room. I think the best, if I'm Lauren Murphy, I'm being honest about this circumstance, right? And the truth is, I did the same thing before the GSP fight. It didn't make the fight any different, and I didn't do what I wanted to do in the fight, because I'm like, fuck it, it's GSP. I've just got to fucking crack him. I've got to create an opportunity to land a punch and crack him. And the more I do that, the more chance I've got of winning.
Mm.
But of course, I knew I was up against it. I'm not an unrealistic person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think she's the same. You know, she's older in her career. She's been through the ups and downs of life, some more than most. And she knows full well how good Valentina Shevchenko is and how she compares to her. I don't think she's deluded to the fact that this is going to be a real uphill battle. I mean, she came off a rough 3 rounds against Joanne Calderwood, who has always stumbled when she got to that title shot opportunity.
Yeah.
And that, if that was a 5-round fight, Calderwood, I think, would have beaten her over the distance. Yeah. It was going that way. So how does she look against Shevchenko in the 3rd round? I'd rather not know. If I'm her, I'm like, fuck it, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Max.
10 minutes.
All out.
She's 38, last title shot.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen if she loses? She's going to get another shot against somebody else. Something silly. What was that? I was plus 900 going into the GSP fight. Yeah, that's pretty fucking... Yeah. That's pretty much you don't stand a chance.
Yeah. It's got to be pretty close. It might be even worse.
That's it. I think the snowflake in hell was plus 950.
I don't know, man. There's just no chance.
No.
There's so little chance. I might put some money on Murphy just because the odds would be unbelievable.
Okay. So then... Let me just play devil's advocate for fun then. Imagine if we were sitting there before GSP Matt Serra.
Of course.
What would you say?
This is the point of this sport. Yeah.
And you wouldn't say that Matt Serra was going to knock him out either.
No.
Because I didn't feel like that was in Matt Serra's skill set.
No.
Not to land with that kind of power. But the difference is Matt Serra got in there knowing full well that he'd managed to get back into the UFC off the comebacks Ultimate Fighter.
He was winning already.
You know, he was
more surprised than anyone else.
Mate, even his round five figure is that look on his face where he's pointing at the belt around his waist. Holy shit, what the fuck? Can you believe
this? Couldn't happen to a better dude either.
But like he shot his shot.
Of course.
You know? I mean,
she has no other choice other than going in there and just leaving her soul in there and just hoping it just happened to be good enough.
That's it.
And she zigs. You know, Valentina zigs when she should have zagged and she gets caught and holy shit, everyone just loses it if that happens.
Yeah.
Opens up that division if Lawrence...
Could you imagine?
Everyone's like, yes!
Half the strawweights move up a weight class. They're like, fucking, this is the division.
They're on.
Jessica Andrade picking fights in the backstage because she's coming off a win over Calvillo. I can see it all.
Definitely.
Be a lot of fun.
Definitely.
Fair play to Lauren Murphy. Fucking give it everything you've got, girl. Because it's a great opportunity you've created yourself. And no one is going to judge you by losing to Valentina Shevchenko.
Fuck no.
Because we all expect you to.
Fuck no. Yeah.
I love it.
Go for it.
Love MMA.
Go for it. Yeah,
I love MMA.
Of course. Main event.
Okay.
Big Volk from Wollongong.
Big Volk. Little Volk.
Dragon's Country. It is Dragon's Country.
You're talking Illawarra. Language I'm not understanding.
Illawarra. Aussie rules in Australia is like soccer, obviously football.
Right.
But rugby league around the area where he's from is like massive.
Is it? Yeah.
Massive. There's like around that Sydney area, there's the Roosters, the Bunnies, the Dragons, the Panthers, the Eels, the Tigers, the Sharks down in Cronulla, which I got a job for the Sharks once and couldn't get a visa.
The anti-vaxxers, the protesters.
Yeah. Picket lines. it's crazy when, like, so he used to play in the middle in rugby league. And if you play in the middle, you're about normally like 100 kilos, maybe 105, 107, something like that. And I think he was 90 at the time. So he was well undersized, but, tough, like Wollongong's tough working class, like spot. And he's a tough dude, isn't he?
Yeah, I saw a lot of his fights were on. Were in that same area as well. There's a couple of Wollongong wars.
Yeah, nice.
A couple of the fights that he's fought.
A lot of the rugby league teams they bring wrestlers in and they bring MMA guys in. The tackle is a bit different.
That's why you were there, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of like wrapping and
brought him in for his wrestling.
Overhooks, underhooks, and hooks and handles used to call it. The Broncos had Chris Haseman. Do you remember Chris Haseman fought Fedor? Like right back in the day,
Fedor. Yeah,
the Broncos had him as their like grappling coach, pretty much during their heyday. Like they smashed it for a long time. Yeah. Now Volkanovski didn't make it that level. I've heard a couple of times the announcers sort of making out that it was a standout. He didn't quite make it a standout. No. Like he played club level, he didn't quite make it as a pro. But I like him.
I have to.
He's industrious. He's tough. He's got like an oppressive tempo, isn't he? Like his tempo he puts on, he must feel like you're drowning the whole time. And he almost uses that like a weapon.
Yeah, it's the timing of it. It's he'll go bang bang, bang.
Yeah,
bang bang bang, bang.
You're like, hold on, one of those bangs like, that was my turn.
Yeah. Come on, motherfucker. This is not how Dutch drills work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's become an analogy that's used quite a lot though. The rogtang timing.
Yeah,
I talk about it in war rooms now.
Yeah,
because it's the best way of It's the best way of explaining it.
Yeah.
It's like there is no breathing room. The moment in between his one combination and the next is not enough for you to go.
Yeah.
And if you go, it's he's going to cancel. Yeah. Yeah.
He does some lovely like fakes and then just pauses. Just see, and then he'll go back. He fakes that leg kick, doesn't he? Like a whip that leg kick and cause some damage. And then he'll fake it and he'll wait, see what happens.
Yeah.
Like it's, yeah, I like the way he moves, man.
He's, for sure.
He slides through stances really nicely as well, doesn't he?
Mm.
He's,
yeah. That's what he was catching Holloway with in that first one. Yeah. After he'd hammered his leg and he was getting him to switch southpaw,
yeah,
he was stepping through with a lead right hook and caught him a couple of times.
I think he won that second fight, though, man.
I don't think he did.
No.
I think he won for two of the rounds.
Yeah.
I think Max Holloway. And Holloway knew it as well he was winning the rounds.
Yeah.
Like, it was weird because he kept acknowledging Anik at the end of the round.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, like John Anik mentioned it after the first round, but then not after that one. But he was like Holloway went back to his round, he looked over at Anik and he tongued quiet. Yeah. And I don't think it was necessarily at John Anik, but it was probably something that was in the rhetoric of the build up to the fight that was in Anik's voice and him saying, oh, you know, he's not the same as he used to be or because of this and that and blah, blah, blah. And that stayed in Max Holloway's mind.
He's like,
and he's used it to motivate himself. And,
mate, I fucking love Max so bad.
Yeah.
He
got better when he fought Calvin Kattar. Like, that was a better version of Max Holloway against Calvin Kattar.
Yeah.
Question
another,
is...
Whole another level.
For sure, for sure. Like, output, aggression, you know, footwork, variety of his strikes was better as well. The question is, was Brian Ortega better against Korean Zombie, or was Korean Zombie just not as good as Max Holloway?
That fucking beating that Max put on...
It was mad, wasn't it?
It was crazy.
But then would you imagine it went any different if they fought again?
No.
I think Max would do the same thing to him.
Like, in some respects, it made me respect Brian Ortega's toughness because there was a lot of ways out of that and he got the shit beating out of him, the sort of shit beating that, like, changes you as a man.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's back and he's fighting for the title and fucking fair play for being that resilient. I don't think I just don't feel like he has enough. He doesn't have enough to beat Max, I don't think. And I'm not sure he's got enough to beat Volkanovski either.
Yeah. I think he's got a better chance. They've got a better chance
of beating Volkanovski than he has with Max.
There's a bit of a love triangle going on here. Because I think... maybe not, though. Maybe Max has just leveled up. I think if Max fought Volkanovski again, I think he'd probably outpoint him to a decision. I think Max would also do the same thing to Ortega. But I think Brian Ortega's got a much better chance of beating Volkanovski than he has Max.
Yeah.
Just stylistically.
Yeah.
Because so like the reason why I like Volkanovski in this fight is because of that pace that he sets. Because he can switch his stance and he throws a much higher volume of strikes at his opponent. And also because he's got that threat of the level change, which makes the threat of the overhand a bit more risky. I think the threat of the takedown is somewhat nullified by the fact that Brian Ortega will probably wrap his neck up in the process. So I think that's one way for
Brian Ortega to win. Higher risk for Volk.
Way higher risk. He is good at getting past the legs, but he's got to get in first.
Mm.
And, you know, like, again, his pace, you know, he sets that pace, he pop, 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 level changes underneath and gets past the legs, fine. But then he's got to maintain that position without Brian Ortega working his game. Mm. And he can transition in any situation. Yeah. Through one submission to the next. You know, Brandao is a good black belt, snapped him down, Anaconda, mount triangled him, and then rolled over to finish the triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's more ways for Ortega to win.
Yeah, and he's a bit more flamboyant than Volk, isn't he? He's got lots of different things that you play with. I feel like Volkanovski is like a bit Shevchenko-ish in terms of I'm going to take the most direct route possible.
Mm. Mm.
And if that is pinning up against a fence in... half guard and a C cop and just beating the fuck out of you. That's, you know, that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
It'd be a fun fight, but I feel like Volk boxes him up a little bit, kicks him up, batters that lead leg. And once he's beating him up, maybe takes him down and tries to finish on the floor.
Mm.
It's just the risk reward of obviously shooting and engaging that wrestle with Ortega is, you know, something to be considered, isn't it?
I think Ortega's striking is a problem for Volkanovski, but only for well, for shorter periods of the fight because he doesn't throw the same kind of volume. Like Max Holloway's striking is dangerous because it's constant. Volkanovski's striking is dangerous because it's constant. Ortega's more effective than constant. Like you think about the elbow and the uppercut against Frankie Edgar or the knee against Clay Guida. Like he finds his moments to land those shots that do the damage, but there has to be breathing room either side, and that's where Holloway
cracked Max a couple of times, didn't he? He found a home a couple of times.
But Max, I mean, Max takes a good shot. Volkanovski takes a good shot.
Yeah,
like, I don't. I think if I'm Volkanovski, I'm going, okay, well, the point of difference in this fight is the pace that I set on the feet, because it's far more dangerous to take him down and try and grapple with him than it is to just hit him more. You know, like what's he going to have to negate? He's going to have to negate that hop side kick to the leg and to the midsection and that low kick that he was using against Korean Zombie, and then a good jab. But make him throw that jab. Like, make him throw those shots. Make him throw double in the first round than he did against Korean Zombie. Because Zombie was just kind of waiting for his counter shot. So Ortega was being cautious about what he was throwing out.
Yeah. It's going to be...
I think Max Holloway wins.
Well, I think... whoever wins and Max gets another shot, Max is going back to being the champ.
Yeah.
For sure. Cool, man. I like it. I like it's good. It's a good. It's a good card all the way through. Yeah. But this is a fun way to finish it.
Which way are you going?
I'm going Volk.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm going Volk.
Okay, I'll go Brian Ortega. Just for shits and giggles. Then I'm so on the fence about it because I can, and I find this usually when I've done a war room on a show on a fight. I've created enough arguments for the underdog that I'm like going, oh, well, the underdog now. I love a fucking underdog. I think the underdog's gonna... But I don't really think there is an underdog in this one. Which one's the underdog? I don't really see one. Like 22-1 against 15-1.
Yeah.
I think they've both got enough of a capacity to win to make this a very, very even fight. Mm. And I genuinely really don't care who wins.
Mm.
I can see Brian Ortega snatching a guillotine and putting Volkanovski to sleep.
Imagine if he wins and then knowing there's got to be some damage from that Max fight. Psychologically, there's got to be some damage. You like win it and you're like, fuck.
Mate, he should have psychological damage from the Calvin Kattar fight that Max Holloway had. Watching that and going,
oh God, he's got
hell.
Better. Like, fuck, what the fuck? Yeah.
You had enough punches in the first place. Yeah. I wonder what the strike stats were that. I wonder if it just appeared as if Max Holloway's output was much greater than it normally was.
Talk about flow state.
Mate, that is ridiculous. Wait, honestly. So the next most comparable fight for Max Holloway's striking output is the Brian Ortega fight.
Oh, really?
Right? Brian Ortega threw 110 strikes in that fight compared to Max Holloway, who threw 290.
Wow.
Right? That's really impressive. 290. Calvin Kattar threw 133 strikes. Max Holloway threw 445. That's ridiculous. Like that's
elite level of a sport. You can't comprehend how there can be such a gap. Like, it's not like a novice versus the best in the world. It's like two really high level guys. Like, how is the gap so big?
Yeah. You know what's interesting is he threw more strikes in that fight than he did in both the Volkanovski fights put together. Hmm. In fact, almost as much as, no, in fact, more than his last three fights, aside from the Calvin Kattar, Volkanovski and Frankie Edgar. Like, I mean, he's averaging like 130 strikes. He goes from 290 against Brian Ortega, 181 against Poirier, 129 against Edgar, 134 against Volkanovski, and then 102 in the rematch with Volkanovski.
Yeah, so why?
You know, the stats don't favour him in that rematch with Volkanovski either.
No.
No, I mean, I know, obviously it's scored by round.
Yeah.
So that's where the point of difference can be.
Why do you think that is? Why does the output drop? Because of Volk presents a difficult picture to encourage you to throw.
Constantly moving.
Yeah.
He's constantly
then
moving.
Then you're sort of second-guessing throwing stuff.
Yeah. Like, usually Holloway increases his output as well as his effectiveness. He gets better and he gets more effective. But I just don't think he got started in the Volkanovski fight, so he was never able to claw it back.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, he did throw more shots as the fight went on, but it was only marginal. Mm. And his success rate wasn't a great deal better. went off on a tangent there. But you're going Volkanovski. Yeah. I'm thinking Ortega might steal it with a submission. Might sting Volkanovski with a knee or an uppercut, and then catch him in a guillotine.
That'll be an upset for the Volks.
Max Holloway's still the best featherweight on
the planet. Yeah, I agree.
Wicked.
Nice. Please check out our sponsors. We're sponsored by unboundmerino.com. And if you use the code Outlaw, you'll get 15% off your purchases. And if it's over $100, Unbound will ship for free. And NordVPN are back on board. Please go and have a look. NordVPN/Outlawed. And you'll get 73% off a 2-year plan and 4 months free.
So that is enough to travel to a different country to watch my breakdown show from a different country and then fly back.
Yeah. It's really easy travel like that at the minute.
It is, right?
Yeah, there's no quarantine.
You just stick one of them plastic things up your nose. We've still not put that clip out of Mystery doing his PCR test, do you? Someone strangled the seagull.
Easy.
Wicked. Nice one.
All good. Nice one.
Catch you next time. Thanks, everybody.